Summer. Fifth? Shrine in each other.
So we've been studying and practicing the Jivanam of Sri Jaya Dharma, chapter 20, on the subject called Abhideya Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti. Well, actually, that's not the whole title. It's called Prameya Abhideya Vaidhi Bhakti Sarana. You remember from chapter 13, Prameya are those nine proofs that are found in the Vedic literatures which are accepted by our reciprocal succession as the complete body of proofs. If you want to know that something's real, these are the literatures that we look at. And Abhideya, or in other words, Shuddha Bhakti, the process by which one attains perfection is number 9 of those 10 proofs. Vaidhi, you remember from the earlier discussion in the previous chapter by Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, when one's service is impelled by or inspired by, not by the desire to become associated with the Lord, agreed to becoming an associate of the Lord, but it's inspired by the Vedic injunctions, the rules and regulations, and the sense of duty inspired by the Shastras. And sadhana, those activities, very basically, as we explained in the last chapter, those activities by performing which one's mind becomes fixed and bhakti. Because although there's so many rules and regulations, and now we're reading the 64 limbs of bhakti, out of which 9 are prominent, out of which 5 are prominent, out of which 3 is prominent, out of which 1 is prominent, the only one and only rule and regulation to follow is to always remember Krishna, Marthavya, always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him under any circumstances. And all of the rules and regulations are inquiries or service of that one. So we got up to number. Yes? That's a very good question. Let's see if it's there.
You were saying that with every positive there's
a
negative. Sankalpa vikalpa, right?
No. That means accepting and rejecting. You have to accept something and you have to reject something.
The verse that Vedin says, Vedin is something you need to do and you can do it.
Very good.
Don't do this, and if
you don't do something, there's an empty space that has to be filled with a dude to do something.
Right. So always remember Krishna, never forget him. And then, let's see how it's explained.
Besides, like, if you just take one, but like, if you just remember somebody, but you're like remember Krishna, but you're still remembering something else, then that's not good.
Yep. Right. It's not possible to remember Krishna and remember something that's opposed to Krishna consciousness. So that was kind of like a feeling, which is don't get hit by thinking about somebody else. Because we may try to remember Krishna and the other person, or the other thing simultaneously, and we think that we're doing it, but we're not really, so it's kind of slow. remember Bhagavan Sri Krishna constantly throughout your life. This is the basic prescription or vidhi, the order of rule. And the arrangements of varnashram and so on for the maintenance of the jivas are subject to it. Never forget Krishna is the basic prohibition. But that's the basic prescription. And what's the basic prohibition? Because there's so many prohibitions. Like, don't associate, we were reading yesterday, don't associate with people who are reverse Krishna. What else do farmers supposed to not do from the 64? Don't accept unqualified disciples. What else?
Don't read so many books.
Don't read so many books that speculate in growing custom imaginative analysis of scripture. So like that, there's so many prohibitions, but what's the main one? Which all others are servants of. So those are the different reasons. That okay. So we're up to number 57. We did that one. Now 58. And then we're going to add the numbers and we can say all of them as 58. Observing the vow of Chaturmasya, and especially Niyam Seva in the month of Kartik. There's so many rules and regulations in the month of Kartik. One of which is don't criticize anybody. Don't tell lies. Always tell the truth. And then there are prohibited things. Don't eat this. And who do parikrama? Niya means rules and regulations, serving these rules and regulations, which I just mentioned some of. The prasadam restrictions and speaking restrictions. Celebrating the festival of Krishna's appearance day, which was kind of included in celebrating the festival of the race of Krishna according to one's meaning, which was back in 57. And it's also sort of related to number 9, which is observe the Kadasi, Jamasani, and the holy days in relation to the Lord. So this number is 59. So 59, 57, and 9. Are quite related. Now there are different ways. I wanted to ask a couple of days ago. I think the question was, who were these 64 mentors? Something like, what kind of devotees were mentors? And I said, according to qualifications. So everyone can follow them according to the qualifications. So for example, it's one type of bhakti to celebrate the festival of Sri Krishna's appearance day by glorifying Krishna. There's another type of bhakti which, when one celebrates the festival of Krishna's appearance day, glorifying Radha with a desire to become a Radha Bhakta. There are five kinds of bhakti in relation to Raghunatha bhakti, which is mentioned in Rakshamika. And one of them is general, and one of them is much, much closer to the way we need to be in order to develop grief through Raghunatha bhakti. So that's why on Krishna's appearance day, there's also lots of glorification of Krishna in relation to Srimati Radhika. Because that's what pleases Krishna the most, anyway. And that's why in the Manjari, please Krishna more than anybody else, if they serve Radharani and assist Radharani in her services to Krishna. So number sixty. Shraddhaya Shrimurtiya Sevana, serving the deity with faith. So 60 through 64, even though they're at the end, there are five panchanga bhakti, five most important lists of bhakti. But one thing that I'm really confused about here is that in the Bhakti Samrita Bindu, number 54 has something to do with printing and distributing books. And here, 20 says inspecting the Bhagavatam and other Bhakti Shastras. Tomorrow I'll try to have that same number as it's in the Bhakti Samrita Bindu. Because sometimes devotees would say that it's not a little bhakti. And Guru David said that according to consciousness, if you distribute books in order to make money to go to a crime movie, and it's an easy way to have a job, then a rogue sitter bhakti is not actually bhakti, but if you're doing it under the order of Guru to help people, then as Guru David, and you use the money, either just giving the money to Gurudev or using the money for your own seva. Like in many places around the world, Gurudev would try and encourage his devotees to distribute books. He said, and keep the money from going here and there. In other words, you need a trip to India, you can distribute books and make the money for that. You need money to come to my festival, distribute books and keep the money. Of course, not the money that you have to pay for the book, not the wholesale cost. In fact, you have to give the person to buy the book. But all the problems. So number 61, Bhagavad Shravan. Relishing the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, pure devotees. What kind of pure devotees? Say that again?
Bhagavad-rasi
and also Ashraya Swajatya, Ashraya Nikya. In the Bhagavad-samhita Sindhu Bindu, again it's a little bit different, it's a little longer. Swajatya, Ashmita, Ashraya, Bhagavad-shravan. Swajati means, just in general terms, Swajati means of the same mind, like-minded person. But more specifically, it means that whatever your constitutional position is, you know that that's what it is, and that's what you desire that means. So that devotee, who is Swajati, he's an ocean of that force. He's the embodiment of that Buddha that you aspire for. And Snigdha means that he's very affectionate to you. He picks you out to be in his shelter. Well, Krishna picks you out to be in his shelter. And Ashraya means shelter. So, relishing the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam is the association of resting sattva. What does rescue mean? Can anybody say it? Can you? You have to translate it all the time. Loud? Right. Somebody who has bhakti ras, not just bhakti. What's the difference? Yeah, there's, according to your specific relationship with Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give bhakti rasa sar. What's that? There's bhakti, the general mighty bhakti. or a Swarga Mani Bhakti, Bhakti in one river. Then there's Bhakti Rasa, which is according to my particular relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, the local Vrindavan. And then what's Bhakti Rasa Sar, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to hear?
Essence.
And what is that essence? So, rasa means one is tasting the rasa in simple terms. Sadhana, that's number 52. Sadhana means association, so that's 2. 62. And you know that the five most important ones are 60 to 64. So 2 means association. That is done by association with Bhakti's form, the same move. From here to this one, just here. Solution makes that means he has a lot of attention to him. Sarasaka. Who has the same move. That doesn't mean I like to type or I like to do engineering work. But it means according to my swarup, my constitutional position, my soul, he's an ocean of that. As I mentioned a few days ago, Gurudev said that the pure devotee, bona fide guru, is one who can, who is just like an expert gardener. An expert gardener of any plant, and you can tell what plant is going to come out, how it's going to look, how big it's going to be, types of leaves and flowers it has. So the pure devotee can look at any living entity in any body and look into the seed, the living entity, seed of his swarup, and know what he's going to be, what he's going to look like. So Nam Sankirtan, loud congregational chanting of Sri Krishna's name. What is Sankirtan according to Shikshastika, commentary by Srila Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada? Sankirtan.
Sangha? Kirtan with Sangha?
What?
Kirtan with Sangha. Two meanings. I've heard two meanings. One, Sam comes from Sam, which means four. So, but also means a Kirtan in Sangha, right?
Kirtan and Sangha, that's loud congregational chanting. And full, what does full mean? It
means that it's fully
in relationship. Sankirtan in relationship with.
What?
In relationship with sadhu or something?
With what?
With Krishna and.
Yeah, that's right. So Sandhya, Bhavana, Kirtan. Which means chanting with Bhavati, free from all the nature. That's full. And number 64, Mathura Bhakt, residing in Dham's of Mathura and Vrindavan. And that was, when that's not possible to be done physically and mentally. When Srila Gurudev was in Bathroom, and he was talking about mentally being somewhere, he said, just like the post is a lesson here. The man is sitting here in the audience, the devotee, and he says, somebody's husband. And he's thinking, and he's hearing me, I'm speaking in the class, and he's thinking, I wonder how my wife's doing right now. And the wife is thinking, oh, my husband is so fortunate. He's in Gurudev, he's hearing Gurudev's class, and Gurudev's speaking on all these subjects. So who's more there? The wife is more.
I just remember one time Gurudev was asking someone to explain what it means to reside in the body, and he said that, and if you can be there, you should be there, mind you. No, actually, you really should be there. And Gurudev was like, what?
He said that also about his festival. That he really should be there.
Oh, sorry, Lady. Yes. I was talking about Gurudev and Malabar.
been here for 10 years, and he said in 1 week it was all gone. He couldn't remember the places anymore. Because here it's just very natural, you know, it's all right. So in 1 week it was just...
Then why does every day start? What are his expectations to go around the world and speak? Actually, Ashram Maharaj answered it that another week. He used to invite all the Western disciples together and ask them, I'm thinking of making so-and-so sannyas, what do you all think? So once when he did that, Ashram Maharaj, who's already sannyasis, said, you know, it seems pretty dangerous that the sannyasis have to go off and preach in different countries, shouldn't they spend more time with you? And Gurudev said, you don't understand, I'm there with you, giving you protection. So Sadhusanga is also of different levels. Samyak and Pena, yeah, both are true. Samyak and Pena Angamana. Associating with Sadhusanga, associating with Sadhusanga's body, mind, words, and heart. So what are those five most important ones? Starting from 60. How? Faith that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I can tell the virgin.
Is the verse the direct last five?
What?
The verse?
The direct last five.
Sabhisanga, Namkirtan, Bhagavad Shaman, Kuturavashi, Kulishabhaisa.
And what do they mean?
Sabhisanga means association of pure devotees. Namkirtan means cute, or in this case, Samkirtan.
Well, 60 is serving the deity with faith. 61 is hearing. It's a little different order that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Bhagavad Shaman.
So 61, which means?
Hearing Bhagavatam from Bhagavat.
Good. 62, remember the two. Two means together with Sadhusanga. And what does that mean?
Association with Sadhusanga.
Who are?
Svajatya means of the same.
Svajatya, Nitya, Su, Nitya, Sadhusanga. And then 63. Yeah, and 64. There are four main dhams: Vrindavan, Puri, Navadvip, and let's say Mathura.
Vrindavan's class is
Mathura.
That's true. So I think it's Dwarka.
Ayodhya? No,
Dwarka.
How about Ayodhya?
Three
mean
dhamma.
Well, Dwarka is
here.
Four or three. Dwarka, in a sense, with Puri Navadvipa and Vrindavan, and Dwarka in a sense. If we're thinking of Dwarka as Radharani's maidservant would think of Dwarka as where Radha Krishna was to go there. Then, or in Dwarka, Rohini Devi was meeting with the 16,000 queens, and they were asking, you know, we're the most beautiful, qualified girls in all the three worlds. So why is it that when Krishna is lying with us at night, he's wetting his whole pillow and his whole bed, calling out for Radhika, oh Radhika, where are you, oh Lilith, if you're remembering those kind of things, then you're welcome. So, Lotus Sri Lanka, can you come forward and give us a summary of all these reports?
30 is to serve me.
32 is singing. 33 is participating in congregational fashion. Sanyam, Sankirtan. 34 is to honor your dietary mantras that you regularly attend to the day, advocating action. 35 is to offer sincere prayers, submissive prayers to Krishna. 36 is to recite bhajan and mantras for the praise of Krishna. 37 is to honor Bhagavad Prasad. 38 is to honor Chandamrita. 39 to smell the garlands and the incense of an offering to Krishna. 40 is to touch the deity. 41 is to seek darshan of the deity with faith, a few more to the faith. 42 is to seek darshan of artists and other festivals. 43 is to hear about the pastime story of the name called the form of Krishna. 44 is to always anticipate Krishna's mercy. 45 is to contemplate the name of quality. To always. Yeah. 45 is to contemplate the name of quality, not some of Krishna. 46 is to meditate on the Satsang, for your meditation. 47 is servitorship. 48 is friendship. 49 is self-surrender. 50 is offer your marriage, your item to Krishna. 51 is to... 51 is to do things in praise to excessively engage Thank you. So now, Vijay Kumar, who has been hearing this list, is going to ask for more specifics of each one. So he's asking, give us some detailed discussion about Guru Padacharya and Babaji Maharaj explained. Well, we discussed this already, actually. Sharanagati, Anuradha, what are the six qualifications, and on one hand, the Sharanagati, and he realizes I'm wretched, I'm insignificant, I'm destitute, I'm fallen, and with these great qualifications, whatever I'm going to desire independently is going to be bad for me. Therefore, I can only desire what Krishna wants, and I know that from Krishna's representative. So when one feels this way, then he is qualified to take shelter as a bona fide guru. And because he feels this way, he has an ardent desire to hear about Krishna and instructions on bhakti. So now I'm going to read the two verses that Babaji Maharaj wrote. Tadjyanatam sagurum eva mudidachat samispani sutriyam brahmanistam. This is, if one wants to judge in life, what does one have to do? In order to obtain knowledge of the absolute truth in the journey of the Supreme Lord, one should approach the Sadhguru. This verse is always, often, quoted by Prabhupada and Gurudev. One should approach Sadhguru carrying firewood for sacrifice. What does that mean? It means the Guru is really the servant of Krishna, not us. And if one is carrying firewood for sacrifice, it's just like the meaning of service. So he's serving the Guru, he's serving Krishna. The qualification of the Guru is that he should be well versed in all the shastras, absorbed in the absolute truth, and devoted to service. Well versed means that he can answer any question at all from shastra and destroy all the doubts of his disciples. Not only does he give information, but when he gives the information to the shastras, he's putting the seed of the fructification or realization of that knowledge in the heart. Like if I'm telling you something, I'm just telling it to you. But if Gurudev is telling you something, he's putting the seed of the realization of that thing in the heart. Therefore, it can destroy that. And then the qualification is he's well versed, he's absorbed in the absolute truth, and he's devoted to service. That means he's engaged actually in service. Which means he's at least one of these three. Morshikasaya, Bhagavad Bhakti. Morshikasaya means that he has a very slight contamination. He's in Bhava Bhakti. But still he has a very slight obstacle. And near Yudhishthira, and then Bhagavad Dehaprasthi, that means he has already attained his Vajra city. So two of them are involved, one is beginning Bhava Bhakti, one is reaching a mature state of Bhava, and one that already has the Bhakti city. When Narada Muni was in Bhava Bhakti, he was a young boy, he was doing austerity, and then the Lord appeared to him in an aerial voice, and he said, because you're not completely pure, I'm going to disappear from you, which will increase your ignorance, and you can share my glory, and you'll be seeing me everywhere at one time. So what was his desire that was making him happy? He wanted to perform his bhajan in a secluded, sacred place. He helped him that. And in the second verse, Acharyavan Purusho Vesham. He who takes shelter with Sadhguru comes to know the Supreme Absolute Truth. Then Vijayakumar replied on the request. Since the Diksha Guru is not to be given up, how will he give instructions if he's not fully confident? He doesn't know everything. So Babaji Mahasaya, and then today he talks about this question and answer everywhere, in every city, in every country. He says, before accepting the Guru, one should examine him to see if he's expert in Sattva, absorbed in the Lord, and engaged in service. Then if he is, then he's certainly capable of giving instructions. Normally there's no question of giving up one's Diksha Guru, but he can be given up under two circumstances, or abandoned in two circumstances. If he's accepted him without first examining him, and then he realizes, due to my negligence and my duty to examine, I picked the wrong person, then he can give him up. I see that he doesn't have the Vaishnava qualities because I just take time to check. Or, if after performing initiation, the Guru does not perform the function, the proper functions of Guru, then he can be given up. For example, a Guru is not going to blaspheme a pure devotee. So it's stated in Hari Bhakti Balas that he imposes an acharya but gives instructions that are opposed to the pure principles of truth as delineated in Jit, in Dasana Sutra. And he gives instructions opposed to the pure scriptures, like, you know, the Jiva control from the Loka Vrindavan, Raghunatha Bhakti, Sahajism, the pure devotee has to suffer the sins of his disciples when he accepts initiation, things like that. Then, that very guru, the one imposing as an acharya, what will happen to him? He has to reside in hell for an unlimited number of years. I mean, if one is bad person in and of himself, that's one thing, but if he goes out of his way to cheat others, then he has to reside in hell for an unlimited number of years of time. And so will his misguided disciple, who mistakenly listens to a false guru. Then there's another from the Narada Pancharatra. It is one's duty to give up a guru. Like a lot of times we hear, but you didn't understand the question of my guru. Well, Narada Pancharatra says, it's one's duty to give up a guru because there's three things. There's the legislative branch of government, there's the judicial branch, and there's the executive branch. And they all check and balance each other. So similarly, there's guru, sadhu, and shastra, and they all check and balance each other. And if one doesn't match, then he should be rejected. So it's one's duty to give up a guru who cannot teach his disciples what he should do and what he should not do, and who takes the wrong path, either because of bad association or because he's opposed to Vaishnavas. As soon as he's opposed to Vaishnavas, immediately it's one's duty to give him up. And then the third verse, I think it's from Jiva Goswami. Does it say? One goes to hell if he accepts mantras from an Avaishnava guru, that is, one who is associating with women, who is devoid of Krishna bhakti, or this previous one, from Hari Bhakti Vimal. And also it's attributed to Srila Jiva Goswami. Therefore, according to the rule of Shastra, one should take mantras again from a Vaishnava guru. There's some misconception that even if my guru is fallen, I've already gotten initiation, so now I'm connected with the next one up in the line. So it's okay, but that's against the Shastra. Shastra says that one should take mantras again from a Vaishnava guru. Then Vijay Kumar will tell us about Krishna Diksha and Shiksha. So Babaji Maharaj replied, one should learn the principles of Artha, which is very much related to Diksha, because without Diksha Mantra, no one is actually authorized to engage in worship of the Guru. Before anyone gave
me loud as it goes.
It's too loud?
No. More loud. More loud.
It should be more loud.
Because of the makes it really tall.
Before what the kingdom wants to worship of the deity, one has to worship Guru. So one has to have the mantras of Guru and say those mantras to Guru before you can worship the deity. And then one should perform Krishna Seva and Krishna Anusilana. What is Krishna Anusilana? Silana means? With the body, mind, words, and heart. And Anam means? Constant. And it also means following. It means endeavor to Krishna with the body, mind, and words. Perform constantly and under guidance of the second kind of Krishna. What are the two Krishnas? Acharya Krishna and Vishaya Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Sarva Jagat Godhead, and that's Vishaya Krishna, and the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, that's the Acharya Krishna or Sri Guru Krishna.
About the last one, that doesn't mean that when the pujari is doing arti, then the Krishna offers everything first to their guru. A lot of people, they learn that in archan, and that's not the way we're taught. We always offer things first to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, and all the others, and then all the rest.
Did everybody follow him? Anybody not follow? Sometimes it's thought that first you walk with the item, or you walk with the shot of the guru, and then he'll offer it to you to Radha Krishna Mahaprabhu, or you walk with it first to him, and then to Mahaprabhu, and then to Radha Krishna. But one takes permission from guru, and then worships Krishna Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, and then gives the remnant to guru. That's what you're saying. Okay, you guys will.
I heard different from him than what you repeated, so okay. I was going to answer what you said, Basically, I've heard from Gurudev that you should approach Thakurji when you're doing puja, or offering any whatever, and you approach Guru and say, look, I'm offering this on your Swaha, then you offer Sapati first, and then
can you say that again louder?
See the buzzers? You say it loud.
Aloud. that when you're gonna do puja, this is what's different is that the verse is saying that you worship the Guru then Krishna. That's totally correct, but it doesn't mean when someone is doing puja. If they're doing an arti, an offering, you just offer directly to Krishna. And the only sense in which it's correct that you offer first to Guru is that you first remember your Guru and you think that actually I'm not doing the offering, I'm not doing the arti, but by remembering my Guru, I'm invoking his energy, he's doing it.
Very good, thank you.
But, yes.
Everybody understand that? Even though I'm going through the motions, who am I to offer something to Krishna? Should in fact I accept my offer if I even share others. And Krishna can go over Vrindavan, I'm not qualified to go to the local Vrindavan and give Krishna his place of Shada. So my Guru Dev is. So I'm going through motions, but I'm meditating that actually he's doing it. I'm uttering the word that Kring Kring Radha Krishna Kring Saha, please take it. But I'm meditating that he's actually. Any questions at 6:30?
You said that out of the three sadhu, shastra, and guru, you said what the majority is saying, the other one was simply reject, or you said that we should not take
it to. If the shastra is saying something, and the sages are saying something, but Guru was saying something different. The center of Shastra, really quotes from the 19th Shastra, the center of the three of Shastra. The Shastra is saying something, and Guru is saying something, and somebody is claiming to be a Vaishnava, but he's saying something different, then he's not really a Vaishnava.
So you have a quote of 19th Shastra with that Shastra as
the Shastra of the three of Shastra is different.
Because I had heard from one Vaishnava on this, doing Kaha and Shastra, who's saying what the majority said? Because sometimes Sadhu and Guru agree on one point that Shastra says different. So you should take into account what the majority say. That's what I've heard. I just want you to know anything about that, please.
So you're saying that what the majority says is third one has to fit.
Yeah, basically take into account what the majority is saying.
Yes, as long as it really depends on one's proceeding in samsara. Because if the guru is voting for the Vaishnava, they aren't really Vaishnava in their voting. And they say something different from shastra, then you're going to reject the shastra. Because the shastra is that different. So, this whole thing of guru telling shastra depends on one's proceeding in samsara. Then you can understand that properly. Then you can apply it properly.
So you have heard that?
What?
You've heard this before?
Yes. And it's a trick because if the guru is bona fide and the Vaishnava is bona fide, then we understand that how to understand the Shastric statement from the Buddha. If the two of them are not bona fide, then the whole thing is out. So that's a generally correct statement, and then it depends on what's completed in samsara. Or luck. It is left out for whatever the bona fide guru and Vaishnava. Now, he's saying that the confirmation, the basic rule of regulation is always remember Krishna and go up to his senses, never forget him. And this is the basic rule of regulation. Out of the 64 teachers, this is the only one. And the others are all hope to make that happen.
It's like the basic rule of traffic, don't go any faster than the traffic will allow. The main rule, but all the other rules fit into that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Is it time? What?
Yeah.
Okay. You see, rather than now, I can see